Hello and welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You can't beat the scran doing it, Marcos. I'm Colin Byles, and unfortunately I'm not joined by Martin Smith this week. This is due to work commitments that's been caused by the coronavirus. However, I'm pleased to say though that joining me this week is Peterhead General Manager Martin Johnson, and he's going to be discussing the impact the virus is having on the club and the way forward. So, welcome to you, Martin.
Thanks. How are you? Thank you. Yeah.
All well?
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Any causes or any cases of the coronavirus going through the club yet?
No, I'm pleased to say we've got a complete clean bill of health so far.
Excellent stuff. I guess maybe being part-time might help, not so much bodies on the go.
It's difficult to say. Obviously, from a football point of view, the players obviously keep themselves fit and healthy. Mm-hmm. I think we've had one player who's had a wee foreign trip. Recently, so whether he's showing any symptoms or not. With regards to the football club here, it's been very much business as usual. Mm-hmm. We have had a number of long-term lets who have decided to cancel for the foreseeable future, which we can understand. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, there's a lot of people coming and going, but touch wood, No cases at the moment. We have upped our hygiene regime, as it were.
Yep.
You probably saw when you came in that we're apologising for not shaking hands, mm-hmm. etc.
Yep.
Hopefully it remains that way as well.
Yes. Good. So we're about a week in since the SPFL decided that we're going to suspend indefinitely football in Scotland. So did you get sort of any indication prior to that something like might happen?
No. Came completely out of the blue.
Okay.
Obviously, we were switched into the situation that we thought at some point there would be some form of action taken. Mm-hmm. We were led to believe that the Raith Rovers game would certainly take place. Mm-hmm. And the rule invoked by the government that there should be no social gatherings in excess of 500, which is still the case, mm-hmm. Would be implemented. So I thought, right, we'll play the Raith Rovers game on the Saturday. We were scheduled to go to Stranraer on the Tuesday and then away to Clyde on the Saturday. And I thought what would probably happen in that situation is that the 500 maximum would be implemented at that point. And then thereafter, as it was being reviewed, that the situation might occur where we're playing behind closed doors. I think the terminology being used, it's a very fluid situation.
Yes.
So it's changing, if not daily, hourly. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the decision to not play on this Saturday, the only way that could have been worse is if it had been the Saturday, we were told.
Yeah.
We were very fortunate we could cancel quite a lot of the catering requirements. It's all good and well having personal opinions. We're just a wee bit confused that this decision was made on blanket form in Scotland, whilst it was the same decision was allegedly made in England, but then we find out that non-league football,
yeah,
who get crowds well in excess of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, were allowed to continue. Now, it's not a case of, sour grapes or whatever, but I just think that it should be one rule for all so that there's clarity. Mm-hmm. When there's not one rule for all, there is confusion.
Yes.
And then we are trying to defend why this has happened. We were inundated with people phoning, giving us grief as to why the game was off. And at the end of the day, it wasn't our decision.
Yeah.
So we just have to abide by that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to answer your question, it did come as a surprise that the Raith Rovers game was called off at such short notice.
So did you or did the club agree with the decision, particularly the timing of it, the day before a game? Or in some cases, it was actually a day of a game.
At that point in proceedings, it really doesn't matter whether we agree or disagree with it. Mm-hmm. There is no time to, you know, there was so much work involved in letting people know in advance. I think I had something like 86 emails, but you really have to think out of the box as to letting everybody know so no one was under any illusion. And whilst it was easy, I think the term I was using at the time as well, you need to be hiding under a rock if you hadn't heard that football's cancelled. But we still had people calling us late on in the day, on the Friday, saying, this can't be, I know football's suspended, I know football's stopped, but that doesn't affect Peterhead, does it? So, you know, it was a pretty stressful Friday afternoon, I can assure you.
I can imagine. And how did the players react?
Players are very resilient. We've already been hit with situations this season when, you know, games have been abandoned and no one can give them an explanation why. So I think at the end of the day, we very, very quickly made alternative arrangements so the players actually trained on the Saturday. So in that respect, you know, the players, very professional as how they go about their business. So, you know, from day one, they know the situation and they accept it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. And given there's no sort of concrete time in when things start again, what's Jim's plans for the players, keeping them fit, etc.?
Well, everything really is up in the air. As you know, it's been well documented, we now train at one of the National Performance Centres in Scotland, down in Dundee. We weren't able to train there on Tuesday because they were having difficulty with staffing levels. Mm-hmm. And there was an email came out this very morning saying that the facility is now closing for the foreseeable future. So our problem probably now is finding facilities for the players to train. I haven't spoken to Jim today. Therefore, in fact, he may not even know at this stage what that news is. Just for the record, it's Friday. It's Wednesday morning.
Late Wednesday morning.
We'll have to see if the players want to make their own arrangements or whatever. But I think a situation as it develops today and tomorrow, I'm hearing schools are closing on Friday possibly. So it might be very difficult to get the players as a collective to train. Again, they're very professional, mm-hmm. and we have, you know, no concerns in respect that they'll do their own, you know, go through their own physical regime. But it's not the same as training as a collective, that's for sure.
And officially, they can still train, or is that still down to each club's own preference?
For us, I mean, we've had no instruction with regards to training as a group or whatever. As far as training on their own, well, Boris is telling us that he's encouraging us to go out and walk our dogs. So, whether Derek Lyle's got a dog on him, I don't know. But no. The situation is they're professional. They know themselves. You know, it's a different animal now. You know, maybe 30, 40 years ago, when players went on holiday and had time off, and they came back, they dreaded pre-season because of the, you know, the difficulty, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That days are long gone. There is probably the odd exception to the rule, but the vast majority of players mm-hmm. take care of themselves, and when they go on holiday, they'll find a gym, they'll go running, etc. So I see no different match practice. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the big issue here.
Okay, so from a club's point of view then, we're due to have four home games left of the season. So how is this impacting the club financially then?
Disastrous, probably. I can't think of a stronger word. Mm-hmm. Peterhead Football Club aren't any different from any other football club, be it Premiership club, be it a Highland League club. Probably somewhere in the region of 40-45% of our annual income is through match day gate receipts, hospitality, sponsorship, bar takings, etc. Mm-hmm. And that tap has just been turned off completely. So in that respect, it's really, really concerning. We're slightly fortunate in respect that the vast majority of our staff who operate behind the scenes on a match day are either volunteers or people who are on 0-hour contracts because we don't know which week they're working and have, you know, whatever's happening. So, in that respect, there is no not a financial impact. But for the just for the pure general transactions with money coming in and on cash flow situation, that's a tap. It's been completely turned off. So that's very concerning.
And I guess you'd be budgeting for an entire season and a complete season. So when you've got only played 29 games, whatever it is, suddenly that's...
Peterhead are no different from any other club at this level in respect. We work from a week-to-week basis. There are very few clubs across the board in Scottish football who make an operating profit. Most clubs, where possible, will break even. But many clubs make a trading loss for the year, and that's where the directors, etc., come in.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation basically here is that we are faced with a situation where we have got approximately 2.5 months worth of football where we have expenditure due through wages, etc.,
mm-hmm.
and very limited income. We have no match day income. To let you understand, 2 home games in a month generally will see you through a 4-week, 5-week period.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 2 months worth of income on a match day to see us through just over 2 months worth of football.
Yeah.
So that equates. So we still have the overhead, we don't have the football, and we don't have the income. So that gives us a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're sitting here feeling sorry for ourselves, we're not happy about the situation,
mm-hmm.
everybody else is in the same boat. That's a real thing. And, mm-hmm. and sometimes they forget, it frustrates me when you hear people argue about so-and-so shouldn't get the league title, etc. That's totally irrelevant. We're talking about organisations, football clubs, who have been around in excess of 100 years. They are an institution. They are a hub of the local community. And it's not a case of, will this club get a trophy? Will they avoid getting relegated? Will they get promoted? The question is, will this club be here? And when I say this club, I mean any club in Scotland, will they be here for season 2021?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at.
Is it that bad?
I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah. So you could foresee clubs going out of business because of this?
Yeah, I think undoubtedly and unfortunately, some clubs may not have a plan of action to see themselves through it. I think there are clubs south of the border, non-league clubs. Again, when I say non-league clubs, you've got to remember clubs who are on the same par as Peterheads and even the Mortons of this world, as far as facilities. I think, I don't know if you watched the game on Saturday night at down the road, and you know the stadium was like Pittodrie. You mm-hmm. know, it's a different ball game altogether. And there's some clubs that are putting non-essential staff, non-playing staff on notice.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's a big concern. It's a big concern.
It's easy to do, but it's easy to kind of compare and put Scotland and England in the same sort of bracket and under the same umbrella. But you bear in mind a lot of clubs out of the 42 clubs in Scotland are part-time. In England, it's very rare. You speak about non-league. There's non-league, but they're still very much professional or semi-professional to an extent. So they've got... It's very different.
Absolutely. Whether there's pots of cash for them, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't speak with any authority on the game south of the border, to be fair. And what we can do is look at see where we can possibly make savings and plan ahead. And, you know, it may be the case that clubs have to be mothballed for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? We don't know. They might turn around tomorrow and say football's finished. They might turn around and say football continues.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know. We're completely in the dark at this stage.
So your day-to-day income then, you've got the bar, you've got the coffee shop, club shop, etc. Is, you say 40% of your income is usually coming from match days. Is that kind of day-to-day stuff enough? Or have you seen a bit of a downturn since?
No, the day-to-day stuff isn't enough in respect that I think most people know that the bar trade, you know, Monday to Friday is a different animal to what it was 20 years ago. We have a bar facility which we open Monday to Friday at nights, or Monday to Thursday at nights, and that's more so to accommodate the people who use our facilities upstairs. We hire out our hall, etc. And obviously we need to have a member of staff here. We've got a member of staff here. The bar as well being open. As far as being a viable means of income on its own, then it could be argued that no. Hence the reason why to date, as of today, the three organisations that normally use our facilities at night on a Monday, Tuesday and a Wednesday have all cancelled for the foreseeable future. So we will not be opening our bar. There's no point in a member of staff coming in here, the club creating a cost, heating, lighting, etc. And if money's not coming into the till to cover that cost, then it would not be sensible for the club. There's no point in digging a bigger hole for us in that situation. So
you're paying a wage that's unnecessary.
Absolutely, and the staff understand. You know, you need to have the customer to just, you know, you need to justify your existence. Coffee shop has been a phenomenal success, you know, for a start. It hasn't been without its problems because it's a new venture, and you know, it's getting the word out there. There's a facility here now. It's proved very, very popular. We haven't as yet been instructed that, you know, coffee shops and restaurants, etc., should close. Again, conflicting advice from government, etc., saying that, you know, these places should remain open, but the public would be well advised to stay away from them. So, you know, until such time government tell us that we have to close, we have to remain open, because from insurance purposes, etc., we've got no recourse if we just decide on a you know, okay, we'll just close doors. We've got staff who have got financial commitments that need to be honoured, and we have got a responsibility to them as well. So we're trying to do everything we can to remain open for business for as long as we can until we are told otherwise. For example, going back to the school situation, many of our staff in the coffee shop, etc., are young mums, and I don't think any of them would have any jobs, and most of them need their job. And we've suddenly been faced with a situation that they possibly will need to go stay at home to look after their children. So, as a temporary measure, and in the interim, we will be setting up a small creche within the confines of the football club for our staff. It'll be operated by our staff, for our staff, in order to allow the mums to carry on working for as long as we can.
So,
it's not ideal. But it is what it is. But we're not just saying close the doors. We have to maintain an operational plan of some description.
Is that kind of thinking on your feet kind of thing as well you need to do, because we've never been in a scenario before?
Absolutely. I mean, you see the situation arising, and you say, right, let's not wait till it happens. So we've actually had the crash plan in place for a couple of weeks, because we thought at some point the schools will close. Spoke to the girls. I mean, if the girls had said no, I'm interested in that, then it would be a non-starter. We put it to the girls, and they said no. I said, look, the situation is we wouldn't be in a position to finance it. We can't pay someone to come in. It would have to be self sort of run by the staff. So the mums will take turns to look after their own their own kids, etc. They're happy to do that. We are happy to accommodate them.
At the moment, how much contact are you getting from the SPFL?
We have been, obviously there's a dual working group between the SFA and the SPFL. We've been getting reports sometimes twice, three times a day. I've kind of broke down a wee bit yesterday in respect of, we know the SPFL met on Monday, and we had convinced ourselves we would get a bottomed out decision as to what happens in the future yesterday. As soon as the email comes out from the joint response group. I've been posting it on the club social media. Nothing to hide. Check through first, and out it goes. Possibly football might have been a wee bit disappointed what came out yesterday, because it referred to the Scottish Cup and the European Cup and the European Championships and so on and so forth. And there was nothing about league football. I suspect we had anticipated that there would be an enforced shutdown. So there was no statement with regards to the leagues. I have seen on social media and newspaper media reports, etc., that part of the meeting yesterday, UEFA had decided or have intimated that they want all domestic leagues completed by the 30th of June. We haven't been informed of that. I suspect if the SPFL were, you know, involved in talks, I don't think perhaps maybe they thought that was going to be one of the options. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe they're now reconvening to come up with an alternative. Mm-hmm. How they process that in the face of everything else going in the opposite direction and shutting down, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But as it stands, we've still not been told otherwise that, you know, social gatherings of up to 500 is still permitted. Could the games be played behind closed doors? I don't know. 30th of June, of course, is well beyond the players' contract expiry dates. Our vast majority of our players are under contract till the 9th of June, which is the opening day of the transfer window. So our contracts can't end before then. Mm-hmm. On that basis. So the question has to be asked, if there is an extension to the league dates, what happens with the players who are out of contract? You know, do we have to sign them all again for 3 weeks? Will they sign mm-hmm. for 3 weeks? Or does UEFA turn a blind eye to the fact that they're out of contract? It's all right in theory, but what about the player? I'm not aware of anybody with Peterhead, but I know someone who did play for Peterhead and plays in the second division now, signed a pre-contract agreement with a club not too far away from where he's based at the moment. So if the season was to be extended, does that player's contract then become null and void, and then he is now the property of his new club? Mm-hmm. Can he play for the new club? Or what happens if he continues to play for his old club during the period he's out of contract and receives an injury? Is he insured? There's a whole can of worms, mm-hmm. whole can of worms there. We were surprised, or I'm surprised, that UEFA have indicated that they would like the leagues completed by the 30th of June. We were really thinking that there was going to be, you know, mm-hmm. a cancellation. Cancellation is very important in respect of insurance and so on. Players' contracts, etc. We can't just decide to cancel a player's contract or whatever, but in circumstances where the organising body cancels things, then it's a different take, mm-hmm. it's a different scenario altogether. Mm-hmm. But we can't process anything until they tell us. So a lot of unanswered questions at this stage with regards to that.
You mentioned the players' contracts. I see on a particular social media site about Peterhead's old accounts on squad bonuses, etc. on there. It's difficult to kind of see why or what how that's going to help any situation, because if you look at what they've put on there, it looks as though the players aren't getting, shall we say, national minimum wage.
I mean, each club sets their budget accordingly. Situation at Peterhead Football Club is, since March 2017, we have fully complied with the national minimum wage structure. It's not for me to say whether other clubs do or do not. But in reality, if you do the simple sums, if you have a squad of, say, 25 players of a certain age receiving the national minimum wage as per the compliance rule, that rule is they get paid they mustn't satisfy the rule where they are paid for every hour they're at training, for every hour they are at their place of work, which is Balmo Stadium, and for every hour they are sitting on a club vehicle travelling to a match. So a player going in his own car to a match is entitled to expenses. Mm-hmm. If he's coming up in the club minibus, he gets an hourly rate. That is the rule. So a score of 25 with players who are in the maximum bracket for national minimum wage. You know, you're talking about men, I think, over the age of 24 onwards, could be. I'm not an expert in HR. You would be looking at somewhere in the circa of just over £200,000 a year. That's the stark reality of what wages are. So what I say to people is, maybe don't put Peterhead Football Club under the microscope as to why we are paying in excess of that. What Joe Public could possibly do is looking at clubs and saying, why are you not paying national minimum wage? Clubs who, and I know from my own experience, clubs who have first team squads of 20 players, an under 20 squad of 15 to 20 players, and an under 17 squad, all on professional contracts. If you're on a professional contract, you must pay national minimum wage. Travelling long distances to away games, and they'll tell you that their wage bill for the year is less than 50, 60 grand. Something doesn't stack up. So what I would be saying to these people is, we're being upfront and honest. Perhaps maybe other clubs should be looking at their own scenario there.
Sure. You mentioned the UEFA's preferred scenario of getting everything finished by the 30th of June. Does the club have a preference as to how all these different scenarios has been bandied about? You know, just abandon the season, make it null and void, end the season now with no relegation or promotion.
I think a club, we're not going to get involved in what if, buts and maybes. I think it would be a shame if clubs missed out on promotion because of the situation. It would be a shame if clubs were relegated when there was still a physical possibility that could be avoided. If the league were to be abandoned, then I think Peterhead Football Club's stance would be, yeah, okay, that's acceptable, providing there is some financial assistance to us. But we've also got to think of the scenarios, the context, the league, the SFA, the SPFL have got contracts with media companies. You have to consider, what if it's cancelled? Are they in breach of contract? Will there be some recourse for them? Mm-hmm. It's a who knows. So, you know, we'd love to see the season finished. We can take crowds in and we can break even and, wow, we've got through it. If football is cancelled, then there would need to be a measure of financial compensation to the clubs for doing that. We are possibly fortunate in respect that we're not quite in the relegation drop zone. Not far from it, but we're not quite there. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if things stopped as they were, we'd be stuck where we are. Mm-hmm. There have been one or two very good proposals, which, yeah, looks like that it would work. Mm-hmm. But at this stage, it's purely speculation, so we wouldn't like to.
You've got 42 teams. It would be very, very difficult to find a scenario where every team is going to be happy.
Absolutely.
There's going to be winners, there's going to be losers.
And we've got a situation where we've got one club in Scotland saying that we were not happy if another club were to be a crown champions. Mm-hmm. We've got one club saying, if we're relegated, then we'll be looking at legal action, etc. Mm-hmm. There are far bigger fish to fry at this mm-hmm. moment in time. I think what we really should be thinking about is, how are we as individual clubs going to come through this dark tunnel mm-hmm. and emerge at the other side, able to put a team in the park and have a facility for our fans to come and attend. Mm. That has to be the priority. But we need to have some sort of financial stability during that period of time. Now, if you take away, if we're told that our income stream has been taken from us, then need to give us something in place mm-hmm. to see us through. How that happens, I don't know.
Are you in contact with any other clubs as well? Do, have they indicated themselves what they would prefer to do? Or?
Yeah, I mean, we, contrary to what folk think, we do have a very good relationship with all other clubs. Mm-hmm. And I maintain a relationship as well with our friends in the Highland League. Mm-hmm. And I also, you know, retained close links with the likes of Stirlingshire and Des McQuaid at Berwick Rangers, etc. So, you know, we all talk at regular intervals. General manager, club secretaries, we talk regularly, and I know the club chairman speaks regularly with us. So, you know, we're all going through the same pain. There's little doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Perhaps maybe the decimal point will be in a different place at certain clubs compared to us, but it's the same problem. Highland League clubs are possibly slightly hardened to this because they have some experience of going through 2 or 3 weeks with bad weather and having no games at all. Mm-hmm. So they're probably a wee bit more resilient to the situation. But, you know, to be faced a situation now where, you know, you look outside, it's a beautiful sunny day in Peterhead, it's not often you can hear me say that.
Yep.
You look outside,
it's still windy though.
The park is looking phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And we can't play football. And I think that's part of the whole problem. I don't want to make light of the situation. It's a very, very serious situation. Goodness me, I know I have a wife and 2 daughters who work in the national health profession. So I'm getting it at every angle. But I think part of the problem is we know about the problem, we know there is a problem, there's action being taken about the problem, but we actually haven't seen the mm-hmm. problem, but we're doing everything. So it's almost like a movie where you're looking in from the outside, so there is a degree of frustration there, because you couldn't ask for better facilities today than, mm-hmm. than to go and play a game of football. But people's health and good being has got to come first, and we kinda, you can play football with a ball, you kinda play football with people's lives. You know, it's a mm-hmm. major thing.
So what's the worst case scenario then for Peterhead then?
Oh, that's a good question. We as a club will be preparing for the situation where we might have to batten down the hatches, go into a short period of hibernation, as it were. We will have our doors open here. We will be available for our customers to come and use our facilities as long as we are permitted to do so. Mm-hmm. We're not going to make any knee-jerk decision at any time and close the door. If people want to come and use our facilities and we are allowed to do so and we have staff to run the facility, and the place is hygienic and you know, tip-top and able to accommodate such you know, people visiting the club, then we'll keep going. Mm-hmm. We'll keep going. But we have to do it whilst it's economically viable. We can't, you know, it's all good and well and being honourable and saying, well, we're going to start running a soup kitchen and doing this, doing that. Somebody has to pay for these things. And if we're not in a position to pay for it, then, you know, it's an impact on us, on us all, you know. You know, you could say, well, look, we're shut for a couple of weeks, I'll go take my holidays. Well, no, I can't, because, I'd a three-week holiday organised this year, first proper holiday in 4 years, and it's ever likely that's gone, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, I'm as well being here and helping. What we are doing is we are doing a lot of housekeeping. We, you know, an ideal scenario, say, right, okay, we're going to repaint this, we're going to realign that, we're going to extend that bit of the building, we're going to take that wall down, we're going to do this, do up a dressing. No, the money's no there to do that. But what we can do is look at all the things we currently do, and are there areas where we can improve, make ourselves more efficient? Is there things we can be doing now in advance of next season? There is one particular project which we were considering involving a third party to do over the course of the next 3, 4, 6 months, We spoke on Tuesday about it, and it looks like perhaps we're going to try and do that now in-house. Whether that is the ideal way to go, but it's the most cost-efficient way to go at this stage. So we're not just sitting, twiddling our thumbs, saying, oh dear, poor Peterhead Football Club, what we're going to do. We have to be, you know, upfront and honest with ourselves and our customers and say, no, we are doing everything we can to ensure that Peterhead folk have got a blue tune to cheer on, be it August, September, October, but certainly 21, 22, 23 and onwards. Mm-hmm. So if we sit back and feel sorry for ourselves and wait for someone else to help us, then that might be a different story.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen anything like this before? Been involved in like this?
Well, I'm slightly offended that you think I'm as old as I say that. I can't say that. I have to be quite honest.
No. I was thinking to myself that the only time really would have been, and this is long before your time as well, been pre-war or just before the war, the season ended then.
Yep.
There's been nothing else that.
Yeah, I think in the early 60s, it was a snowstorm, 61, 62, 63, round about then. There'll be loads of folk listening to this shouting what year of date it was. So that was, I think the league was abandoned that year because it just quite simply ran out of dates. But the league had to, it was a shorter timescale then. You had to finish, I think, at that time, probably the end of March, 30th of March or something. Mm-hmm. 64, there was a TB outbreak, I think it was. Was it TB? In Aberdeen. I can only speak with a little authority there and expect that I was born at ARI that summer and my return home was delayed because people weren't allowed in or out of Aberdeen at the time. So I'm told.
So you're told. That's how the legend goes.
And some football players were told that they couldn't commute back and forth. They couldn't leave the city. Mm-hmm. But other than that, wartime, you know. Mm-hmm. So if wartime is the example, maybe we should take a wee leaf out of our forebears and say, well, you need to have that maybe, you know, up and at it attitude. Mm-hmm. And meet this face on and be resilient. I mean, I would appeal to supporters of Peterhead Football Club. There's lots of things we could be doing, lots of suggestions went out there. Could we sell, you know, our season tickets for next year in advance? You know, and we had a good discussion about it, and it was agreed that that's perhaps maybe just pushing our luck a wee bit. Mm-hmm. And it's, we don't want to be disrespectful to our fans. Mm-hmm. But we'll have a platinum club which does not have the 200 spaces full, and it's £20 a month, and there's a lot of cash prizes to be won. Even if we were to get 10 to 15 people coming forward and joining the platinum club, that would be a huge help. Mm-hmm. Huge help going forward. You know, over the next 2 or 3 months. So, and you can download the form online, etc. Put it into your bank, and you know, that would be a massive help. Mm-hmm. To Peterhead Football Club. I'm very much going to be restricted as to who I can go and see about advertising signs, renewals and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. You know, I had one appointment tomorrow about signage, and they've said, you know, no disrespect, but we didn't want to see you. Mm-hmm. Might have been the outcome anyway, but mm-hmm. You know, a common sense mm-hmm. approach here. So yeah, there are ways where, you know, that's a good example. If people want to buy merchandise online, we can package it and send it out. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, bits and pieces we can do. If people want to buy vouchers for hospitality for next season, they have to commit to games or whatever. It's a voucher, and it'll be in place. Mm-hmm. Again, that little things like that suddenly stack up, and that just gets us through another 2-3 days. Mm-hmm. Because we're lucky in that respect. There are lots of businesses who can't do anything. There's lots of bars and pubs and leisure centres, etc. You know, kids' ball centres and things like that. They have no alternatives. You know, so you know, it's not a problem unique to Peterhead. It's a massive problem, and as I say, there are one or two things that people can do. I would urge people, inquire about our platinum club. Mm-hmm. Go online, see what you can do. It's £20 a month. It would be a massive contribution to us if people were to support that.
So all in all, it's very unsettling and troubling times ahead.
Well, we've a lot of downtime just consoling people and not getting any work done because we're speaking to people about it. And I mean, respect yourself, but your staff come in and concern, you can't dismiss them. You've got to sit down and listen to their concerns and see what they have to say. And social media, I have to say, has been an absolute nightmare because, you know, we're just discussing today photographs of situations and people are going, oh my God, look at this. Apparently this was yesterday. And then a wee bit of detective work, and the photo was taken 8 years ago when a new store opened in an odd sort of city that didn't have a store like this before, and there was a bit of a novelty factor. Mm-hmm. There are people, sad people, I have to say, out there doing scurrilous kind of things just to get a bit of publicity and get a few more followers on Twitter, etc. Mm-hmm. You know, and my advice to these people is, you know, just treat it with a pinch of salt. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why when we get notification from the joint group from the SPFL and the SFA, we copy it in full, we post it in full. What you are being told is what we are being told. Mm-hmm. Nothing more, nothing less.
Well, Martin, thanks very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. It's been a pleasure. You're the first guest in the Blue Team podcast, so you've set the bar, you've set the standard.
Well, pity it had to be
under these circumstances. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Well, that's it for this special episode of the Blue Team podcast. My thanks again go to Martin Johnson for joining me. Our thanks also go to our sponsor, Marco Chipper. On behalf of the Blue Team podcast, we'd like to say during this very difficult time, stay safe, and more importantly, try and look after each other. I've been Colin Byers, and you've been listening to the Blue Team podcast. We hope to hear from you all again, or see you very soon again. Thanks.